The Spower Heads, if we need to use the recovery procedure, let's do so this time that we might be properly prepared for this Wednesday evening service. Father, so we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to study your word and for the freedom that you have provided for us here in Corpus Christi, Texas, USA. We now ask that God the Holy Spirit, our mentor, enlighten us regarding the message this evening. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Remember, in the beginning we said, we quoted, First Thessalonians, I guess it's 5:16. Always be happy. Now, that will be, that you've got to think about quite a bit, I think, and you have to maintain that. That's a command. Always be happy. Now, it's not that hard to do. Even in the worst situation, no matter how much pressure, no matter how much system tests that we get from Washington or other places, and some of these things I mentioned and all this evil that's happening in the United States and other countries as well, all you got to remember is Jesus Christ controls history, the Holy Spirit restrains evil, and the devil is the ruler of the world. And what do you expect? And our job is not to, we can't stop the trend. We can't stop Satan and his rulership. All we can do is advance spiritually. That's all we can do. Even if you can't win a baseball game, you can still advance spiritually, even during the baseball game that you're losing. You stay in fellowship and do your job as unto the Lord. You bat as well as you can, as to please the Lord. If you miss, that's okay. You tried, right? And, yeah. But if you win, of course, that's even better yet. Okay, we're in Revelation 6. And let's just review the verse 7 and 8, because we're dealing with Revelation 6, the verses 7 and 8. 7. And when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, broke open the fourth seal. So we're going to have seven seals. Then followed by later on, seven trumpets. Then the goblet judgments. I heard the fourth angelic herald say, come. Verse 8. Then I looked, and behold, an ashen horse. That represents death, the power of death. Remember, before we had the white horse, the red horse, the black horse. The white horse, that's tyranny and social degeneration, allowing for tyranny. Then the red horse was, you know, a lot of warfare. Unnecessary warfare. And then black is depression. And then now the ashen. After all of those, you're going to have a lot of death. So the ashen horse is the death, power of death. If you have economic collapse and people are starving to death, a lot of people are going to die that way. In war, a lot of people die in war, right? And the rider, his name was Death. What a rider. The name is Death. In fact, Hades, now in particular we're talking about torments, but they just use Hades, was marching in step with, literally was following after him, Death. They're going together. Death kills, they go to torments. Death kills, and they work together. Torments receives them, Death sends them. Furthermore, see, they're a team. Death does the killing, and torments receives the unbelievers, because that's where they go. And why do you think it's called torments? Because you're tormented. Not as bad as a lake of fire, but bad news all the same. Furthermore, authority was given to them, Death and Hades, over a fourth of the population of the earth. Now, because they mentioned it's dealing with torments, we're talking about unbelievers. Because no believer gets sent to torments. So here we're dealing with only unbelievers. One fourth of the unbelievers, this is in the first part of the tribulation, because we're going to have another third in the second part removed. So the very fact they mentioned torments, this only involves unbelievers. A fourth of the population of the earth, understood, of unbelievers will die and will be sent to torments during the first half of the tribulation. Now in the second half, just to bring it in here, I didn't write that down, but in the second half, as you have the seven trumpets, and the last three trumpets are also called woes. And the second woe deals with the 200 million demons released from the Euphrates, from under the Euphrates, under the command of four generals. That's 50 million per army. That'd be an army group. And they will kill 1/3 of the population of the earth. Apparently these are believers and unbelievers in the cosmic system. The believers will be protected. 1/3. That's the top of the 1/4 lost here. This is all within 7 years, so that should help you by comparison. By comparison with the tribulation, this time in the church age will never be that bad. Then 7 years, first 1/4, then later on 1/3, all within a 7-year period. And plus, yeah, a lot of other deaths as well. To kill with a sword, that's one way. There are going to be 4 ways they're going to kill. And this first one is to kill with a sword. And the second one is going to be the angelic demons that will do the killing. The Thracian, this is the kill with a sword. This is the Thracian broadsword, which was real big. And the Romans liked fighting the Thracians. The Thracians were big and strong. But the Thracians would pull their sword way back and time their way back here. The Romans would go in. The little sword, Machaira, you're dead. Just go in 2 inches. Big Thracian would just go boom, hit the floor. Hit the ground. To kill with a sword. So the Thracian, since it's normally for conventional warfare, you'd use the Machaira. So since they're using the Thracian broadsword here, it would be representing warfare, crime, and terrorism. And with famine from economic depression. Well, you say, well, nobody can die from economic depression because they can always get a check from the government. But the government check is worthless. For example, the U.S. government is broke. Whenever they need money, they go to the Fed, print money. The Fed loans the money to they create the money out of thin air. They just print it. The Fed does. Loans it to the U.S. government and receives interest on that money. There's a new book coming out. This guy proves, I guess, and he's definitely he's a genius. I mean, look at all the things this guy's done in. It's called The Great Taking. If you're interested, it doesn't apply to me so much, so I'm not that much interested in it, but he says there's a plan for the Fed, basically the Fed. They changed the definition of private property. I think it's private property. So really, private property is no longer private property. In other words, they can confiscate it, and legally, you don't have the rights you had before. Already, the laws have been changed. So, for example, they can go in and easily take your bank account, because I knew that a long time ago. When you put money in the bank now, it's you're loaning the money to the bank. It's not yours. If there's any problem, then they're not going to give it to you. If there's any problems with the bank, they're going to use it as collateral to bail or pay out other creditors. And they can also now take all the stocks without any question asked, legally. It's not yours. And they will use that. The key is one time, The banks that had what they call derivatives, they didn't get the priorities. But now the derivatives, because who owns most of the derivatives? These big Fed banks. So that money, in other words, all American money will be used in the next crisis, if this guy's right, to collateralize, to back up, as it were, the Fed debt, these derivatives. Okay, moving on. But now, I like to look at this stuff a little bit. And this may take place. It may be actually a conspiracy that may be planned. It may happen. It may not work. Maybe get frustrated. But even if it does, Jesus Christ controls history. The Holy Spirit restrains evil. So it's only going to go so far. And it's never going to be as bad as a tribulation. And I always remember, Satan is the ruler of this world. And we're going to survive. As long as we keep advancing spiritually, God's going to even bless us. We're going to definitely get logistical great support, and if we got greater capacity, he's going to bless us to match our capacity, no matter what. So it doesn't hurt to hear about these things, but once you put all these doctrinal points down, there's nothing to be concerned about. And you always got to realize Satan is the ruler of this world, and what the hell do you expect? He's always going to try to centralize his power. In this case, it appears that he's doing it through the financial system. The Fed is the greatest power in the world right now. So all their central banks, they almost own everything. They own most of the stock market. 1 or 2% do. Anyways, if they do succeed, well, evil is used to punish evil. There's that principle, you know. And most Americans are evil, so. Well, we'll see what happens. I did tell Eileen, we're living in very interesting times. You want, yeah. And with famine, economic depression, I just said, in the past, in 1929 through whatever is 19, a few years there, I think very few people starved, but they didn't have much to eat. I think sometimes they, if they had a potato in the morning, they were lucky, or a teaspoon of sugar for breakfast. Nobody had any money. One guy, there's a story of one guy, somebody gave him a steak and he was so happy, he was going home, and all of a sudden, a dog jumped up and grabbed his steak. And he said, well, he could have ran after a dog and beat the dog. He said, well, he thought to himself, he's a real generous kind of a guy. He said, well, I think he needed it more than I did. The dog, that is. And yeah, God has taken. The dog was hungry too. Just like our dog eats like a horse these days. And with deadly disease, that's another way. Some are going to die from deadly disease, leading to terminal illness. And by wild animals of the earth. The increase of wild animals will kill many. Now we got a picture of, since we mentioned torments, we got a picture here of the entire compartment. Hades in the Greek and Sheol in the Hebrew. The first, we just review quickly here. We do mention, we covered that before, so I'm not going to go over that. But just quickly, there's Abraham's bosom. That was called, obviously, Abraham's bosom after Abraham got there. Before that, it was called paradise. So it was called both afterwards. And there's a gulf fix. And as you can see, torments, that's where all unbelievers go. See, there's fire in torments, but it's not a lake of fire. And later, after the great white throne judgment, they go into a lake of fire. So that's, you're going, it's worse, right? This one, you don't have to stand in the fire. There you have no choice. You're swimming in the fire. Then there's Tartarus. Remember, that's Genesis 6, where these are the angels that cohabitated with the beautiful women of the pre-diluvian period. And then there's Abyss. These are the hardcore demons and other demons, but under a hardcore leader called Abaddon or Apollyon in the Greek. Remember, that army is going to be released during the tribulation. Now, they'll be released not to kill, but to torment. They'll be released in the second half of the tribulation to torment anybody in the cosmic system, whether believer or unbeliever, for 5 months. They can torture you. And they can torture for 24 hours a day. They can, because they don't get tired. They're in their eternal bodies. And these people are going to beg to die. Beg to die. That's the abyss. Okay. Now we got one more. Then there's the sea prison. The sea prison, maybe in the bottom of the Mariana Trench, in the bottom of the sea, because that's where the half-half are imprisoned. And that explains a verse in Revelation 20. The sea will give up the dead. It's talking about, because everyone has to be in your, if God does not mix, see, in Abraham's bosom, it's only believers. In torments, it's only unbelievers. In Tartarus, it's only those angels of Genesis 6. In the abyss, those angels that violate certain rules. And then, God doesn't mix humans with it. Now, this is half-half, so God doesn't mix them. So the half-half have their own prison. Again, that explains one of the verses in Revelation 20. Death and Hades. No, there's one where it mentions the sea shall give up. That's not Navy personnel dying at sea. That's this. This is out of the sea prison. These are the half have never been judged. They have to go before the great white throne judgment as well. Okay. Now we cover this next paragraph, so we're going to skip that because that's not where we left off. We left off right after this. I just want to review the verses. Now here is taken from Themes Bible Doctrine Dictionary. Page 121. I thought it was a good definition of torments. Torments, the place of fire and agony. There's fire there. So fire and agony, where unbelievers temporarily reside after death. Unbelievers remain in torments until the last judgment, when they'll be resurrected. See, they get the resurrection bodies. They get a resurrection body too, but designed for them to live in the lake of fire forever. And not designed for happiness. It's a different type. Resurrection, they'll be given an eternal, resurrection body is an eternal body. Obviously, if you're going to go to the lake of fire forever, you need an eternal body. And judged before the great white throne judgment, throne, then cast in the lake of fire for eternity. Revelation 20, 13 through 15. Between paradise and torments is a great chasm fixed, an impassable barrier that signifies no hope in eternity for those who reject Jesus Christ in time. Luke 16, 19 to 31. Concepts of purgatory and prayers for salvation of the dead are false doctrines derived from the Apocrypha. I put down here a group of 14 books not considered canonical. Every person's eternal residence is determined by their personal attitude toward Jesus Christ during their time on earth. 2 Corinthians 6:2, 1 John 5:11 through 13. Therefore, those who presently reside in torments are already condemned to lake of fire. But because that's where they're going. But there has to be a trial, so they're going to have a trial. John 3:18. The four means of death in this passage are presented in prepositional phrases: with a sword, with famine, with deadly disease, and by wild animals. The tribulation will be characterized by unrestrained crime, terrorism, violence, and warfare, so that millions of unbelievers will die. And a lot of believers, too, if they're not advancing. The Thracian broadsword, remember the Thracian broadsword was real big. The Thracians, just in northern Greece, they were big guys. They were great horsemen. But they had this huge sword, because some people think, you know, the bigger the better in some cases is true, but not in this case. In this case, too big of a sword, it takes time you swing it right on this way and you're off balance. See, when you go way out here with a big sword way out there, you're off balance. You cannot be off balance. I'm sure that applies to batting too. You cannot be off balance, probably even pitching. There's got to be some concept of balance. So, and then the Romans understood that. They had a little Makara, sharp on both sides and a sharp point. Makara was only sharp on one side. And it was heavy. And what the Romans would do, they would just duck under the first swing, then go under. And right into the chest, about 2 inches, and it got, boom. The bigger the air, the harder they fall. That's what the Romans used to say. The Thracian broadsword includes, this is where we left out, right? Right, you're right. The Thracian broadsword includes all categories of warfare and terrorism, and so used in this passage. Ordinarily, when the word sword is used just for conventional warfare means not terrorism, just army against army, the Roman Makara is used. Most of us understand something about crime and warfare, but little about terrorism. So a short brief on terrorism. Wouldn't you like to hear a little bit about terrorism? Terrorism is simply a ploy for the purpose of attracting an audience with the objective of changing government or forcing government policy or philosophy to change. Also, terrorists strive to create the image in the mind of the government that they are stronger and more powerful than they really are. Because fear is a great weapon. Just like the Exodus generation, they said, we're going to die. They were dead before they were dead. You're not dead until you're dead. It's not over until it's over. Uh-oh. Poor Eric. I just remember that. Weren't the 49ers ahead about, they were ahead. They got the first 10 or 12 points. That's a good team. Definitely a good team. It was a good game, I guess. We watched just the last part of it. We watched just part of it. But we thought about Eric. And I also thought about poor Kate. Anyways, Kansas City Chiefs pulled it off again. By using the media, this is the terrorists, they begin to obtain the support of the masses, which previously was only a mirage. The terrorists, they have a good PR system. The terrorists, a good propaganda system. The terrorists also attempt to get the government to react and then to overreact. When the government does overreact, then more and more of the populace will turn against what they see as a repressive government and side with the terrorists, especially if you've got a weak population, weak in the soul, like the Americans. And if you happen to go down to the border and shoot someone with a BB gun, they'd go nuts probably. Well, in the old days, you know, you protected your borders. No one came across. They did. They would get shot. You shoot one or two, that'd be the end of it. That's how you got to put iron in the teeth. Just, we don't want you to come across, and it's not going to get the job done. Reasons presented for terrorism. One, bringing into an awareness any act of violence to attract attention. They want attention. Two, to alter the public beliefs concerning terrorists, to promote the power of the terrorists. Three, to destroy the enemy, which would be government, the military, the police, any form of establishment-type authority. Four, to exhaust the opponent through anxiety. Oh, where would they strike next? Where would they strike next? A lot of anxiety. Can you imagine, I told you about the great take. Let's say that actually happens. Can you imagine a shockwave that goes through the United States? It'd be unbelievable. I kind of mentioned to my brother, my brother always said, I got a brother, he's an unbeliever, he knows everything. I don't want to listen. He's got a lot of money in the stock market and a lot of money in the banks. I thought you might be in. No, that's FDIC will protect us. They broke the last time. It wasn't for the Fed printing a lot of money. It wasn't for Gavin Newsom had a lot of money in one of those California banks. They were only going to insure up to $250,000 as they were supposed to. But they went higher because Gavin Newsom ran to the White House and was crying like a baby and then said, okay, we'll raise up to $1 million or so. So we protect Gavin Newsom and some of the money he put a lot of money in some of those California banks. Five, live training drills and preparation for all-out revolution. The masses and the people will not fight unless they have been exposed to it. They need some experience. Two, so they start training when they get some support. So, what they say right now, some of the migrants within 3 weeks are on a firing range being trained by some of these Chinese communists that have come over. Some of these Chinese migrants have come over, within 3 weeks are on a firing range. Now, for what purpose, I don't know, but it doesn't sound good, does it? No, I don't worry about those things, but the government should. That's their responsibility. But seven, to force their opponents to divert their resources. You put a lot of money over here and then, to divert their resources. Over here is a terror hole here. To get the people in the government to overreact. And they do it for personal self-interest. They like glory. In some cases, they do it for revenge. Muslim terrorist acts against Israel for revenge. Now, the second prepositional phrase refers to economic depression or famine. It means hunger, famine, death caused by economic circumstances. And the idea that people can't die if we have a depression is an economic depression is ridiculous. See, Americans just cannot imagine anybody starving to death because we've been so wealthy in the past. But it could very well happen in the future where we are no longer a wealthy nation. They say even the used car prices are going to start plummeting because nobody has any money. I say nobody, most, a lot of people don't have money. But they say, I still can't believe this. Well, I understand to some extent, and probably most of you, when you buy a car, you borrow it. That's okay. Everybody's got to live their own life, but it's surprising to me that the average American pays $762 a month on mortgage payments. You may say that's nothing. I pay twice that. But anyways, but it's surprising to me. I'm not used to borrowing money and paying every month. I'm not used to it. See, I was living in the United States. We usually didn't do that. If we didn't have to, and for business, it's a different story. If you got to invest in business, you got to buy a lot of new machines. Then I understand that, but my own personal needs, unless you absolutely have to have it, my thinking is that you don't borrow for those purposes. So we don't borrow so Eileen can buy a new hair curler. I say, we don't have the money. I say, Eileen says, if she's not saying it to me, I need a new hair curler. I say, do we have the money? No, we don't buy it then. That's how I operate. But when we bought our car, we paid cash, which is okay. I know some of you borrow, but that's okay. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not telling anybody what to do even. I'm saying what I do, because I don't like debt. I hate debt. I hate to pay those payments every month. We're paying just rent, and that's bad enough. Nearly $2,000 a month. That's enough. And that takes a good portion of our money. I would certainly hate to make car payments on top of that. No, hey, I look at it this way, because a lot of times you can buy cars, used and pretty good cars, and half the price of a new car, and almost pay cash for it. Why not? But some people want the best. We had a neighbor while we were in the other place. Again, I'm not critical of that neighbor even. Everyone can do what they want to do. I just live my own life. And I learned that a long time ago, live and let live. But they had a daughter, and they had three cars in the yard, one for the wife, one for the husband. They needed three cars. They actually needed three cars. And the daughter had a good used car. But the parents decided it wasn't good enough. I don't know why not. They bought her a brand new car and paid, making mortgage payments on it. That's how a lot of Americans operate. Cindy says, to me it makes no sense, but that's Max Klein. Especially my daughter, and she just, I don't believe in giving the children everything. Anyways. Some parents, they want to give the children everything they ask for. I want this, I want, give them everything. I'm going to say, forget it. You're not getting it. Enough is enough. But my dad was tough, so I'm kind of tough too. But that's all personal. And I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm not even thinking about anybody here. I'm not. Zero. But I'm really talking about, I was surprised when I read that news about the debt, car debt, and how many people cannot make their payments now. Now, if you can make your payments, it's your business. But a lot of people cannot even make their payments. And they're losing. They're losing their cars. That's why apparently used car prices are going to go down. They forgot in the past we were a lot wealthier than we are now. Now we're not as wealthy as we were in the past because of inflation. So now we have to be more careful. One time you didn't have to worry about it. You could borrow money and easily pay it back. But times have changed. The tremendous and widespread wars of the tribulation inevitably are going to result in economic disaster. The production of food. See, you could say, you know why I'm not talking about you? Because you could turn the tables on me and say, why do you need such a fancy house? See, it goes both ways, you know. So I'm not talking about anybody here. Really, I'm not. Because you can turn the table and say, did you really need that big house? What, you know. I'm not making mortgage payments, but it's almost the same. I'm paying rent every month. We could have rented a house for $700 a month rather than nearly $2,000. A lot smaller one, of course. So we can make it so far. If something happens, we'll just move out. Move to someone's garage, probably. The tremendous and widespread wars of the tribulation inevitably are going to result in economic disaster. The production of food, its packaging, and logistics will break down in the tribulation so that millions of people will die from economic depression, malnutrition, and starvation. And I repeat, the same thing that could happen in the United States. And don't say it cannot happen. It could happen. And it very likely will happen. Not only in the United States, in other countries as well. They're all in the same boat. They're all got these fiat currencies they just keep printing. The reason why the dollar is still hanging in there because it's the best looking girl in the group. But they're all ugly, but it's the best looking one. The third, from the standpoint of overt beauty, but we know true beauty is a soul anyways. The third prepositional phrase is a little misunderstanding, misleading, for it is often correctly translated death, but can also refer to terminal illness from disease as in this passage. And that's how we translate. See, we're talking about 1/4 of people have died. We mentioned the four different ways. Now, we mentioned again, in this context, this is talking about in the first part of the tribulation. Now, in the second part of the tribulation, when Satan comes down, he's going to release one army out of the abyss. He's given the key. God the Father is going to give him a key, and he's going to open up a shaft to the abyss and release that army. Now, that army will be able to torture people in the cosmic system, Satan's own people, because he doesn't need them anymore, for 5 months. But they're not allowed to kill anybody, just torture. And these are experts in torture. Can you imagine being tortured for 5 months? And they can do it 24 hours a day because they're in their eternal bodies. They don't get tired. And some of these are quite sadistic. So they really enjoy that. And people are going to beg to die. They're going to beg to die. The third prepositional phrase, we did. Okay. This brings us to the fourth prepositional phrase, namely, many will die directly from wild animals. See, the retraction of civilization during the 7 years of the tribulation results in the increase of wild animal life that will prey on human beings, which will bring about a sudden and dramatic increase of death from wild animals of all categories. I noticed in Wisconsin, they're not killing animals, but for some reason, I guess because, I don't know why, but a lot of animals have migrated from northern Wisconsin. They're also coming down to where in Madison, Wisconsin. Because the last time I was there, we never saw before wild turkeys. And then they got laws. You can only kill one or two turkeys a year, and they're just cleaning up some of the farmers. You see, bureaucrats pass these laws because they're so divorced from reality. Some of these farmers need to be shooting turkeys all day long. And there's turkeys and deers. I saw one deer, I think, the entire time I lived in Wisconsin. Now, we saw one time six deers together coming out of the woods. There's a lot of deers and turkeys and wolves. We saw a wolf. You know what wolf we saw? And foxes. A lot of wild animals we never saw before. Now, these are not man-eaters, but the concept is the same. Yeah. And I think civilization is also retreating in Wisconsin and the United States. The tribulation will be a time when there's a lot of man-eaters among the animal kingdom, many of which undoubtedly will be demon-possessed. That's another thing. Demon possession of animals will change the ordinarily shy behavior of many animals to a behavior of violent aggression toward men, bringing about a tremendous loss of life by these wild animals or planet Earth. One time I saw a movie. It was a really good movie. I can't remember the name of it. It took place in Africa, and England was building a railroad. But they ran into a snag because they ran into some man-eating lions. And it's really an interesting movie. And this lion got a lot of people before they finally got the lions. It took a long time. Summary of the four horsemen. One. Death, or the ashen horse, is the grim reaper, the inevitable result of the unrestrained function of the first three horsemen of the apocalypse. Remember that the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit over evil will be removed at the rapture of the church. And we should really appreciate that. Because even when I talk about evil and all these evil conspiracies that are occurring right now, there's always been conspiracies. But some of these are getting really bold now, and they're making big moves. But they're only going to go so far. They would go a lot farther in the tribulation, but there's a limit. Because the Holy Spirit restrains evil in the church age. Which ministry will be removed in the tribulation? So if you start getting depressed because of all the conspiracies that are occurring, well, you're weak. Because a lot of believers will have a lot more pressure in the tribulation. And a lot of believers will go all the way. They'll do very well spiritually. So always think about the tribulation. If you start thinking, I don't think I can handle it anymore because too much, all these conspiracies and all this pressure from the federal government and other governments and pressure from my pastor, teacher, whatever. I'm not, but anyway, it's through my teaching. This is from Bible doctrine. But it'd be nothing compared to the tribulation. Historic. We've got, ours is more subtle because we've got the angelic, intensified stage of the angelic conflict. But from the standpoint of historical disaster, there's no comparison with the church age and the tribulation. There's no comparison. So don't wimp out. Just always remember, you're not dead until you're dead. And when it's time to die, it's time to die. You're not going to stop death. Summary of the four horsemen. One. We started that. Death, or the ashen horse, is the grim reaper, the inevitable result of unrestrained function of the first three horsemen of the apocalypse. I remember reading this already. Remember that the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit was over you, will be removed at the rapture of the church. Now I'm repeating this because you need it. I said it a few minutes ago. I'm saying it again. Two. Political decline bringing about tyranny represented by the white horse implies social degeneration. How do these tyrants get in power in the first place? How do we get in the mess that we've gotten into? Because we have social degeneration in the United States. No truth. And you want MAGA? Make America great again? So do I. But where do you start? You're not going to put somebody in the White House and, And he's not going to have any power anyways. The Fed has all the power. And the deep state, which is part of the Fed, you know, you're just kidding yourself. And all he's going to say that what the Fed wants, keep the stock market up, which only 1 or 2% own most of it, not helping. The stock market doesn't indicate how well we're doing economically. It's just benefiting the 1 or 2% who own most of the stocks. So keeping the Fed up, keeping the stock market up is not, that should not be a major objective of any president. Okay, anyways, but the only way you're going to change the United States, and I've said it 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 more times, is believers have to get back to Bible doctrine and unbelievers have to get out of reversion. They have to become law-abiding citizens and then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. One or both, or at least get back to the laws of divine establishment, and many should believe in Jesus Christ and advance spiritually. This is how you change a country. There's no other way. Look, we went into Iraq. What have we changed there? We're going to make a little USA in Iraq. Is Iraq little USA? They don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in privacy. No Muslim does. There's no privacy or freedom amongst in the Muslim religion. It's total tyranny. And it was just so bizarre and so ridiculous. You almost had to be psychopathic to believe that you could turn little Iraq into a little future former, like former USA was, and make Iraq great again. It was a unrealistic dream that was just so bizarre and so out of touch with reality. It's amazing that anybody in the United States could swallow such a thing. This has two categorical results. First, foreign policy disaster represented by the red horse, namely continuous warfare, and military disaster. That's part of it. Some nations are winning and some nations, but they're all just constantly fighting. Look at the Ukraine disaster. First, the Clintons went in there and overthrew their president. And then the Ukrainians had a civil war fighting each other. And it's considered the most corrupt nation in Europe. I guess that's why we wanted to deliver it. And now look at the mess. It's unbelievable. This government of ours is totally and completely psychopathic. The Red Horse, namely continuous warfare and military disaster, and secondly, domestic policy disaster represented by the black horse caused by governmental destruction of free enterprise through governmental regulation and interference with free enterprise, socialism, the welfare state, redistribution of wealth, unjust and discriminatory taxation. You know, one form of taxation is inflation. They're taxing us heavily. You don't realize that. They keep printing money. You know, they, how do we lower the, they say, they act like we don't know how to lower inflation. What cause? You got to ask yourself, what causes inflation? What causes the dollar to lose? In other words, inflation is merely the dollar losing value. Well, you print too many dollars. You keep printing dollars. Obviously, you're going to cause the value of the dollar is going to deflate, which causes other prices to inflate. And people act like, I can't figure out what causes inflation. Just how dumb is this population in the United States? You keep printing money, obviously the dollar value of the dollar is going to go down. You're printing a lot more. Point three, therefore, the white horse of political arrogance and incompetence reflects the social degeneration of the people of a nation. And this applies really well to the United States. Four, social degeneration produces an incompetent form of government. In our case, a lot more than that. This is a mild statement, would be a mild statement regarding our country. It's a lot more than incompetent. It's insane. And actually, in many cases, trying to destroy the United States. I heard one of the things they want to do now is shut down 3 hydroelectric plants in the Northwest. What's the point? This is cleanest energy you're going to get. So it's not a matter of clean energy. They just, and blowing up all these food processing plants and stopping fossil fuel production. And, well, you know, but you know something. They pushed the EV, right? But Americans don't want EVs anymore. Nobody wants EVs. Because they can see that, first of all, they're heavy. The tires wear out fast. If something goes wrong with the battery, it costs you the price of the car just to pay for the battery. And then fires that burn at 5,000 degrees, you can't put out with water. You spray one full of water, the water, the you spray with water, you spray with water, then the water, see, that's water is H2O. So you got oxygen and water. The hydrogen leaves, and then you got oxygen. So the fire is actually burned hotter. So you need something besides just water to put out a lithium battery fire. Just think, the average fire burns at 1500 degrees, but a lithium ion battery burns at 5000 degrees. That's why they're almost impossible to put out. And then you got charging station problems. I mean, they got more problems now than it's unbelievable. And you go to a charging station, if there's more cars, you'd be waiting for 2 or 3 hours, and I guess it takes an hour to charge it up or whatever. And then and now in the cold weather, they don't work. It's out on in Chicago. It's just a joke. It was another boondoggle that the government pushed. It wasn't a matter of free enterprise. Free enterprise would never have accepted it. At first, they gave a lot of money to the ones that are making the cars. Then they started supporting the ones that bought them. Excuse me. Remember one thing. Government cannot make money. It's free enterprise. It's businesses that make money in the country. That's why you need business. Big businesses, middle-sized ones, and small ones. And all over the United States, like we used to have. And that's what made the United States wealthy. No government can make money. They can just steal it from somebody else and give it to you. Four. Social degeneration produces an incompetent form of government and political disaster, which in turn results in military and economic disaster because they're making the policy. When you have idiots and psychopaths making decisions, what do you expect? And not only that, people that hate the United States, and they're making decisions to destroy the United States. You add all that up, and what a mess. It's enough to make you move into depression, right? Without BioDot, we would. But with doctrine, I just kind of laugh at it because I said, this is the devil's world. And he's trying to consolidate his power, and the Holy Spirit's only going to let it go so far, and Jesus Christ still controls history, and the whole thing's only going to go so far. And that's not our job to get involved. We can get distracted. That's one thing you got to watch out. You start going to too many rallies and you're sending letters to the senators and congressmen. You're being distracted. That's not your job. And that's not going to help. You're never going to be able to do what Ron Paul did. He fought it day and night for 25 years. And as he was fighting evil in Washington, it accelerated exponentially. You think you're going to stop this thing? You can't stop a downward trend when the people are negative toward truth. You cannot stop it. And you cannot stop the incline if people start turning back to truth. It's going to go up, no matter how you try to stop it. That's how you change the trend. Believers have to get back to Bible doctrine, and unbelievers have to believe in Jesus Christ and get back to the laws of establishment and Bible doctrine. At least get back to the laws of establishment. That's important, too. There's certain prosperity. When you get a nation that's not a client nation, their prosperity is related to the laws of divine establishment. One time Japan became very prosperous for a while. They followed the laws of divine establishment very well until the government started interfering in everything, and now they're broke. Five, the result is the function of the fourth horseman, death, which reaps the results of the other categories in this adverse historical trend. Now we're in verse 9. Revelation 6, 9. We're moving slowly, but we're getting there. There's a lot of stuff in Revelation. Sometimes you got to go over and over again because it gets kind of confusing sometimes. You know, when you're learning something, sometimes is this true? You don't have to answer it. I'm just a rhetorical question. Sometimes you're studying something and you can't get it. But then your mother teaches you, or the internet does, 2 or 3 times. Then you say, I understand it now. Sometimes you just need repetition. And not only that, sometimes you're confused about something and you go to sleep and next morning you wake up. I understand it. Because the brain is still working. You know your brain never goes to sleep? Did you ever think about that? No, your brain does not go to sleep. It's working all night while you are sleeping. But you know something? Yeah, your heart doesn't go to sleep either. Neither do your lungs. But when you go to sleep, basically, your brain is still working and it's putting all the things together. It happened many times to me. I'd wake up. I was confused about something. And I woke up and I was clear as what I needed to do. Because my brain was working all night long while I was sleeping. See, we all have a supercomputer. We just got to use it. Everybody's brain, if you're a normal person, you have a supercomputer. Some people's computer is super, but everybody has a supercomputer. Most people don't use even 1% of it. You say, I wish I had more IQ. You have more IQ than you're using. The average person only uses 1%. Just use what you got. Verse 9. When he, the Lord Jesus Christ, had broken the fifth seal, the historical trend of great martyrdom in the tribulation. See, God's going to permit a certain amount of martyrdom. In some cases, he protects the believers. In other cases, he permits some to be martyred. I saw under the altar of the burnt offering, this is in heaven, John sees that there's all these people under the altar. The altar, the souls. Now, John actually sees their interim bodies, which house their souls. You can't see a soul. If you don't believe me, I'll ask you a question. Can you see my soul? Any of you girls? Can you see? Don't answer the question. It's rhetorical. Can you see my soul? No, you can't see a soul. It's invisible because the soul is made out of spirit material. So when John says he sees martyred people that have been martyred, because I mean, when they go to heaven, they get an interim body. So he's not really seeing, he calls them a soul, but he's seeing their interim bodies, which house their souls of those who had been murdered. Now it doesn't say beheaded. Now this is not the 144,000, so we must distinguish. These are obviously either the converts of the 144,000 or later on in the second half of the tribulation. If you recall, Moses and Elijah come back, and they have a great ministry of evangelism, teaching Bible doctrine. So it's these are converts, either of the 144,000 or the Moses and Elijah, of those who had been murdered. And the word used is slaughtered like sheep. The cognate noun, this is of the verb. See, this is, where is the verb here? See, oh, this isn't a, oh, this is, oh, wait a minute, where is this here? Right here. Yes, a verb. Svagizo. This is a participle right here. This is svagizo. And then here's a noun. The cognate noun svagion refers to a sacrificial victim. So like a sheep. They were slaughtered like sheep. Maybe their throats were cut or something. Maybe tortured to death. Because of the word of God. In other words, they advance rapidly in their spiritual lives. And because of the testimony of integrity, or maybe it's actually, they're actually giving out the gospel too, but also they had a great testimony, they had a testimony of integrity, which they had maintained. In other words, they remained faithful to the Lord to the point of their martyrdom. Now, they didn't have a lot of time to grow spiritually, but these people grew as fast as they could, and they developed integrity, and they remained faithful, and they were martyred. We are through now with the study of the four horsemen of the apocalypse and or the revelation and move to verse 9 through 11, the fifth seal. In this particular seal, we are going to study the martyrs of the tribulation. The very fact that there is unrestrained historical disaster inevitably means that there will be some martyrdom among the believers. And God has permitted this though. We could have martyrdom in the United States at some point. Maybe in our lifetime, probably not, but it could be if the way things are moving. Well, there was a lot in the Roman Empire, but while many of these believers will not have been saved very long, their sacrifice for Bible doctrine apparently counts as maturity. God gives them a lot of credit for that. And God knows how far they would have gotten if they had lived longer. So God knows. He has, you know, omniscience. You don't have to live your full life, God can calculate. We've all known young people that have died and believers. You say, well, they didn't have time to execute the spiritual life. But you have to always realize God cannot be unfair to anybody. So don't say they didn't have time. If you make an issue of the fact that they didn't have time to reach spiritual maturity, that sure they didn't have time to reach spiritual maturity, but you don't make an issue out of it. Because God can calculate how far they would have gone if they had lived another 20, 30 years. He can calculate. It's no problem for God. He's got omniscience. Then he can reward them on the basis of that. And we always tend to, the problem with a lot of Christians is they apply human thinking to God. But God is, we're finite. But God is his infinite knowledge. He is omniscience. He knows every decision, every thought that they would have made if they had lived another 40 years. And he calculates, he said, really they should have lived, I would have normally given them another 30 years for their spiritual life or 40 years. And they're in heaven now, 30 years earlier or 40 years earlier. That's no problem for God, obviously. God knows what they would have done. So he calculates on his computer, on his smartphone. But God has an omniscient smartphone. He just looks at it and it works. After their martyrdom, they will enjoy great happiness in their interim bodies in heaven, awaiting the second advent, at which time they will receive their resurrection bodies. They are seen under the altar of burnt sacrifices, that is the brass altar representing the cross. As we will see from this location, they will offer imprecatory prayers. Prayers that want disaster to happen to other people, or vengeance or justice or something. And some imprecatory prayers are really tough. We're going to see the toughest one in the Bible, offered by David. It's shocking. They will be sacrificed because they appreciated the sacrifice of Christ on the cross more than life. See, that was their attitude. The deliverance of their souls into heaven means loss of life on earth, but loss of life on earth means finding a far greater life in heaven in interim bodies. They didn't lose anything. I should put that in there. God can kill. I didn't put that in. I need to put that in there. I think we'll stop right. Let's see. How was it? We'll stop right there. You know, if you go too long, people can't concentrate. Did you ever find that out? When you're sitting in a class, kids. Now, don't answer. But the teacher goes, first 50 minutes, your concentration is very good. Then 55 minutes, it's starting to wane. An hour and 10 minutes. See? So usually the military decided 50 minutes is the best time. Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, so we thank you for the Bible class this evening. We appreciate this information. We ask that we know that God, the Holy Spirit, will utilize for our spiritual growth and move us all the way to spiritual maturity. We thank him for it, and we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.